everybody. It's an honor to call the meeting of January 13, 2014, our first meeting of the new year to order in the great city of Winter Park, and a beautiful day. I invite you to stand with me for our invocation offered by our own Wes Hammer. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our community, Winter Park. Thank you for the opportunity to serve it. Ask for your blessings upon the proceedings here at this meeting. Ask for your blessings upon our 2014, that we might honor you in all that we do and serve the community and help it thrive and prosper. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Knight, I don't know if there's any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
I'd seek a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. I have two proclamations to make under my report. One is that our election, and the listing is there for our city clerk. I don't know, Cindy or Michelle, I don't need to take any formal action on this. I think it's just a proclamation to acknowledge that. Am I correct?
Do you need to adopt it? Do they need to adopt the proclamation?
It's in the format of a proclamation. I think it just needs to be placed into the record.
Okay.
So I'm placing a proclamation for the election for our City Commission Seat 2, which will be held on March 11th, 2014. So that has been duly noted. We have two candidates for that office, and we'll have that election on that date. The other thing is, Commissioner Macken, we're honored that you serve on this. I don't know if we need a formal reappointment except to say thank you, but I know you've served on the Orange County Community Action Board, which is multi-jurisdictional along with multi-agency. It makes a huge difference in the life of a lot of the social agencies and all in our county. And your willingness to serve, I think you have a second that serves with you, is very much appreciated. So do you want us to take a formal action on that?
You do?
I believe we need,
okay,
to be a recommendation.
I would move that we reappoint our own Commissioner Tom Macken, the Orange County Community Action Board. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? I'll open the floor for public comment if any citizens wish to describe and discuss anything with us. Hearing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. One of the things I would add under my comments is it's been 5 weeks since we met. Doesn't even seem possible. There's been a lot that has gone on, but certainly the holiday season was fabulous, and want to thank all the staff for the wonderful lights and everything that they did to make our holiday season so well. And then last Wednesday we had the wonderful opportunity to welcome home a returning hero from Afghanistan, Lieutenant Chuck Nadd. And I know with all of the events that occurred around that, our staff was intimately involved and did that quite quickly. And I just want to say thank you for everybody who's made both of those events as well as our holiday season so bright. That concludes my mayor's report. Mr. Knight?
Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, if you all take a look at the back of the room up near the top of the ceiling, you'll see our cameras are installed, so you may please smile. And we are broadcasting live tonight as an experiment to see if it works right. And assuming that it does, we'll do a little bit of publicity about it to get the word out so people know that they can watch your commission meetings live as well as just the audio version. So that is up and in place.
Thank you.
In addition, I want to let you know that we received our final reimbursement from the 2004 hurricanes since we last met. That final reimbursement amount, that number was $2.2 million, roughly $2,230,282.15. Bringing the total reimbursements since the 2004 hurricanes to about $18.1 million, which is what it cost us to clean up after those hurricanes, repair water mains, all the different things we had to do. So I thank you to Jim Huckabee for helping expedite that final payment. That was kind of caught up in the process up there, and he was able to shake those funds loose.
So the total reimbursement was
$18,148,938.98.
Thank you.
Are you looking for recommendations on how to spend it?
Well, certainly, as of now, that it's been deposited into the bank, of course. We had talked in the past about whether or not there was any interest in using a portion of that for quiet zone. So that is, if that's something the commission would like me to put on the next agenda, I'd be glad to do so. for discussion.
We discussed putting the whole quiet zone topic on in an upcoming meeting.
Yes.
I, for one, would prefer...
We're ready to do that.
If we're ready to hear how it is, then let's talk about the financing.
Okay.
If not, I think I would rather hear if it's going to happen before we talk about whether we have money for it.
Right. Now, there is, I mean, there is MetroPlan working on quiet zones separate and apart from this, but we are ready to talk about the projects we need to do.
Then bring it on.
So we can bring it up.
If we can do that on our next agenda, that would be fabulous.
Okay, that'd be great. That concludes my report. I'd be glad to answer
questions. Questions to the city manager.
Read the newspaper article on Unicorp and the Mount Vernon. Do we know anything about that?
We have not heard anything about that. I know they were walking some plans around a month or so ago, but I don't know if that's what they're planning on coming forward with or not. And I saw in the paper today that the Kmart is closing, and our Kmart is closing in March.
Closing? You mean the store
closing?
Closing
the store is closing down in March.
Randy, is there a link for the Cameron Kermit website? Is that how we're planning on going about?
Yes. It'd be the same. Is that the same place you'd link to listen to it? There's a separate link there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Randy, you're going to after your report here, we have a year-end in review. Are you going to hit some highlights on that, or is that just merely because I personally found that
very helpful.
As I sat and looked through all that, I was really impressed. And I would certainly love you to hit some highlights on that, at least since we're live. And
I had not planned to do that, but let me get it up on my screen here.
I mean, if you look at that, for a community of our size and to have this kind of quality development, I think was a
very impressive.
It was, and is, and hopefully 14 will be just as impressive.
All right. Get me off.
This is your time to brag.
Of course, one of the highlights of the year was the Rollins College completion of the Alphand Inn that opened up back in late August, I believe it was. And they also completed the Bush Science Center, which is a big project from a size standpoint. Of course, that one, while the Alphand Inn is on the tax roll, of course, the Bush Science Center would not be. The Winter Park Village redevelopment of the border site began. That project's taking place. Heritage Park CO'd prior to the end of the year, so that's a 85,000 square foot of Class A office space that's now up and operational and on the tax rolls. That's kind of the big ones. The L House, of course, opened up at the beginning of last year, so that was new to the tax rolls this year. And the Atlantic Housing Project, as you have seen, is there, and if you drive by there, you'll see people standing on the balconies. There's people in there, so it's exciting. The Casto apartment complex is getting ready to get moving in full speed, so we'd be glad to answer any questions about any of these. But those are the biggies.
Questions?
No, I was going to say that again. That if you go through both those pages and look at all of this, there's some really quality things in there.
Just one more point about that. If there's a way we could highlight this on our website and people wouldn't have to look to find it, I just was very impressed with everything that's happened, and I would love for people in the community to be able to find it.
Okay.
Randy, I think the commercial report that Mr. Wiggins puts out is also an excellent document that should be available for people to see, because that covers all of the projects, not just the large ones.
Okay.
It's nice to see what's going on.
Any other questions of the city manager?
No, sir.
Mr. Eichmann, if you have anything to report, or
just a couple short matters, please. Mr. Mayor and commissioners, if you allow me. First of all, Mr. Brown, you're obviously your city attorney, has asked me to advise you that he does seek advice regarding the litigation of City of Winter Park versus Max Media, and there's a lot of other parties. I think everyone knows what that case is. I know that there has been prior discussions regarding settlement. I've been advised that one of the parties, and multiple parties in this lawsuit, has provided that they are not willing to go forward in a manner that's close to or comparable to that which was last discussed. And so Mr. Brown needs to discuss this matter with you at an executive session. So I'm making this request on his behalf that this be scheduled. Obviously, this is required for purposes of the Sunshine Law under 286.011, subsection 8. And we're asking that this continuation of this discussion of the status of the settlement negotiations and strategy sessions related to litigation expenditures be scheduled for a meeting that would be for one of your next commission meetings. That would be convenient for the commission as well as for Mr. Brown, who was, as I think you received a memorandum, is in the panhandle at another executive session this morning for the City of Destin. So that's the first part of my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Try to answer any questions you may have.
Do you need it before 2 weeks from today? Or is that
I believe that would be fine. 2 weeks from today,
that would be fine.
Like an hour before the regular meeting.
I don't think we have a CRA board or anything, do we? Would it be okay to do it an hour before?
Sure.
Is an hour sufficient time for you all?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And that works for me, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Mayor, the other matter, I just want to make sure all of you received a copy of the motion that was filed in the other lawsuit that has been out there for a little bit. This is the style of that case is concerned citizens for historic preservation regarding City Winter Park. Obviously, it involves the Caton House, and there was a motion for sanctions that has been prepared by our office and filed, and that will be called up for hearing. It has been represented to us on multiple occasions that lawsuit will be dismissed. Having said that, I do not have in hand at this moment the dismissal. The motion for sanctions has been filed, and it will be prosecuted.
And I forward those to you today. So go ahead and check your email today. You get it. You should have gotten it today.
It's very explicit about the law and the facts supporting that motion for sanctions against the plaintiff in that lawsuit.
The question I have on that, Randy, I sent you an email on that. Is there a time that the judge has to respond to that motion?
From a procedural standpoint, Commissioner, the opposing party can respond in writing, but what will most likely happen is that our office is currently trying to schedule a hearing, which is where the parties can argue the merits of the city's motion for sanctions. And the judge will schedule that hearing. At that point in time, the judge will hear the arguments of the parties and will then rule. Sometimes the ruling is done by the judge at that moment at the hearing, but it's not uncommon for the judge to then go back his or her chambers and think about it and then write an order.
My understanding was that the opposing counsel had opportunity to address this already.
That is, well, there was the 5705 requires that that we as the party intending to seek sanctions provide notice to the opposing party, which we have done. That is correct. And then we are not allowed to file the motion under the rules until that time frame has passed. So that I apologize. I didn't realize that's what you were asking about. But yes, that obviously that process has been followed. So,
and further motions don't require anything from us, I think.
Not, no, sir. No, that was
that part of other.
That was just to let the council know what that was the advice that was provided to
Commissioner Sprinkle.
If it's dismissed, it doesn't go forward anywhere.
If it's dismissed, the litigation won't.
Right.
It would be discretion of this commission to whether or not to pursue the sanctions.
Okay.
I mean, and costs and fees have been incurred. The amount of fees that if the sanctions were imposed, the amount of costs and fees would be not great at this point in time, because the time frame from when notice was provided to now, of course, not most of the work has been done before that.
And those fees are only proportional to the portion of the lawsuit that we are filing for sanctions on, correct?
We're seeking sanctions on the lawsuit.
On the entire?
Yes, sir.
The entire suit?
Yes, as provided for in the motion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Other questions to the city attorney? Did you have anything else to comment?
That is it, Mr. Mayor.
Commissioner Cooper?
If we were to move forward on considering the baseball field.
Can we deal with that under baseball?
We can. It's a question actually about the ballot. At what point in time would we have to...
Well, that would be a good question under that time, not during, I think.
All right. I don't mind.
Deal with it under same the agenda
attorney.
Item.
Same attorney will be here then.
I'm not going anywhere.
No problem.
That's it, Mr. Mayor, for me.
Okay, thank you. Other comments to the city attorney? Okay. No, I'll pick up citizen comments near the time on any non-action items. Move the consent agenda. I seek a will of the commission on this matter.
Move it.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'd like to remove one item, please.
Please.
Item A, minutes.
9A?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other changes from that? So, Commissioner Sprinkles, your motion would cover the 9B in its entirety, I guess?
Yes.
I don't think there's a C, is there? 9B in its entirety. Commissioner Leary has seconded it. Any discussion? Open the floor for public comment if any citizens wish to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Commissioner Cooper.
Yes, on page 10 of 65 of our packet, I believe that's page 2 of 9 of our minutes, about the fourth paragraph down, it says, Commissioner Cooper spoke about the need to establish a process for master planning, and I was actually very specifically talking about institutional master plans, not the city doing master plannings. So what I'd like to do is clarify that for the purposes of the record and change a process for master planning to a process for institutional master plans.
Within the comprehensive plan?
Yes,
that would
sir.
Be more specific.
Yes, there's only two actually listed in the comprehensive plan.
Right. Which remains fascinating how that happened.
It's Florida Hospital and Rollins.
And one has done and one hasn't, which also means interesting. So.
And so I thought we'd probably need to look at a process before any more development comes forward because we haven't actually worked out how we're going to deal with all that.
That's what you're requesting.
I mean,
yes, I'd just like to change lowercase master planning because it.
You requested it, but I don't know that there were three to do it. So I think the minutes can reflect what you requested, but I don't know that anybody else said that was a good idea to study it. So.
Well, let me make a very specific motion, and I would move that we replace master planning with institutional master plans, because that's very...
No, the minutes should reflect what you stated, but again, I don't know that the minutes were specifically instructing staff or anything to do anything specific about. You mentioned... We need to establish a process for institutional master planning. Is that your motion for the...
Yes, it is. Thank
you.
That's
great. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great. Further discussion of the minutes? Open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You ready to vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Mr. Knight, item 10A.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, in your packet, I've provided a list of the several topics that are due to come up this during this next 90 days. I'd be glad to discuss any of them, and you know, a lot of them haven't been slotted into a specific time, some of because of outside parties that are driving some of these issues, but be glad to discuss any of these items you'd like to discuss. One item I'd like to add that was inadvertently left off of this is the next quarterly strategic planning discussion. But it might be the will of the commission, depending on the baseball discussion later today, that next quarterly strategic planning deal with baseball versus something else. But that's up to the will of the commission.
Well, I certainly don't mind listing strategic planning quarterly on here. And again, we can decide later. Randy, you have baseball listed a couple of times on here, I'm assuming...
The one is the issue tonight of deciding whether what process you want to follow and then bringing it up at a later date.
If you choose to do that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, Randy, what's the difference in that and strategic plan draft that you have on here?
Well, there's CRA strategic plan. Do they have strategic plan draft?
Yes, you do. On January the 27th, it says strategic plan draft workshop.
All right. That's initially that was the date we had slotted in to have the next quarterly strategic planning discussion. We never formally scheduled that with the commission. That's what we suggested way back when we had the last meeting.
Are you thinking that we might need to slip that because of the baseball information coming together?
Right, and
that's
the amount
reasonable.
Of effort that the baseball might take. But we're certainly Michelle and Peter are ready to go forward with this. If you're ready to go forward with it on the 27th,
that would have been what, the CRA plan?
No, sir. The actual strategic plan, the next quarterly discussion of our strategic plan.
As in a full-day conversation, you mean?
Or however much time the commission wants to put into it.
I don't know that I have a full day on the 27th to schedule at this point, the way this is kind of snuck up on us.
Right. The commission, if you may recall, at the last
strategic planning session talked about maybe two to three hours for the next quarterly, not a full day.
Right, so that's a Monday. Why don't we look at it when we have a little more than 2 weeks' notice and look for something a little bit later? If we need a workshop to handle any other matters that are coming up in between, we can do that.
So. Yes, sir.
Any questions for the city manager on this?
If you have any questions on what any of these particular items are, I can kind of tell you where they, you know, what's the status. For example, the Robidage Development Order item, Mr. Bellows has given staff some changes he would like to see to the Robidage Development Order. Staff is working through those and is asking for more information. So the timing on that, we're not sure. It'll be when he turns in the rest of the documentation staff needed to process that request. The MOP,
train opening, you might want to mention.
Yeah, the train opening, and we're looking at possibly moving that back to May 2nd. The building will be done at this date, but the old building will not be taken down yet, and the art will not be up. So staff felt if we could move that to May, it would be a better grand opening, as it'll be a totally complete project.
Yes.
With the old train station taken down.
So. I'm not clear on us whether or not we have scheduled a strategic plan date, though. That's what I'm not clear on, and I'd like to get that on my calendar today if we are going to have one.
That'd be nice, but it'd be nice to know that we need to come to prepare a schedule for that, too. So I don't know.
We can put that on the agenda next meeting to discuss the schedule.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking it's February or March at this point.
Right. All right.
Yeah. Would that give enough time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions, City Manager? Okay. I don't know who's going to present item 10E.
Michelle.
Thank you. Good list, Randy.
Hello, Mayor and Commission. Today we have a beautiful day outside to discuss the trees. It's kind of a perfect day for it. We were with you in November and talked a little about our urban forest management plan and brought a draft forward. And at that time, you all asked us to take it back to the Tree Preservation Board and work with them. We've done that. And working with the Tree Preservation Board, we've put together a set of policies, which you'll find on your draft plan on page 19 and 20. And the Tree Preservation Board unanimously adopted all those policies to be brought forward to you all for final review. And in talking during the development of those policies, there were a couple of key things that came up that I thought would be worth introducing the subject before we have some questions. And those things were the overall maintenance of the trees and growing into it versus sort of flipping the light switch. So, the recommendation in the plan is for the city to begin maintenance of the trees. And so we've talked about beginning maintenance of the trees in terms of how the budget allows and with the prioritization. And so from there, the Tree Preservation Board asked us to talk to the city attorney's office about that, and we did, about how we can, if we take the next step to modify the ordinance, how we can modify the ordinance so that the city has the flexibility to grow into the program as the budget allows. So that's one key thing I wanted to bring out, is that in this recommendation, we're looking to move towards taking over the right-of-way maintenance, but not tomorrow, all 30,000 trees, but growing into that program. The second piece I wanted to just bring out is, as we talked about the budget as it's aligned in the draft, the Tree Preservation Board would at times be a little frustrated because we kept talking about how this budget's a very draft budget. And the budget was developed by having 300 trees evaluated with Dr. Libby, and then those we took the work of that 300, the work that those 300 trees need, and tried to extrapolate it to develop a budget that would meet all 30,000 trees. So clearly, as you're looking at this, you know there's going to be room to improve it with new and additional information. One of our priorities that we've already started on this year is developing and improving that inventory, and we're going about that in three ways. We have our internal staff working on the inventory. We're utilizing grant funds to bring Dr. Libby back to work on the inventory, and then we're also using some contract time and labor to build that inventory. And as we build that inventory, we're going to be able to refined both the budget and the work program. And so tonight when we're asking you to look at and adopt this master plan, we're not asking you to modify the budget in any way. So for 2014, we feel like we have a good budget, and it's a budget that meets our needs, and we're in a mode where we're triaging the worst trees right now, and we're dealing with the trees that need removal or a high level of care. And at the same time, we're building the inventory so that we can also grow into a more regular program in terms of how we manage the trees going forward. So, you know, part of this recommendations, which you'll see on page 20, is a section that talks about evaluation, and I think that that section is going to be key as we build a more formal program with our city. So it talks about setting realistic expectations for our residents, annually evaluating the budget, annually evaluating efficiencies and making operational adjustments, and then building into a five-year test on diversity. So with that, I want to let Drew address a few of the more operational things that came about at the Tree Preservation Board.
We are doing the triage via a risk-based assessment. Someone actually goes out, evaluates the trees, and gives the tree a number from the highest risk of 14 down to 6. We're also in that same setting building our inventory because we have a simple GIS-based system that we're adding to every time we do an assessment on a tree. We're also partnering with Urban Forestry is partnering with Public Works and Electric Utility to combine efforts when curbs and streets are being replaced or renovated. We are getting in with them and figuring out the best way that we can utilize the everybody's efforts at once and to be able to have a wider planting strip in areas that we have smaller ones so that we can plant the larger shade trees and continue that oak canopy. We're also in the plan we recommended to not plant more than 50% live oaks in the forest and then evaluate that for the next 5 years. But that doesn't mean that that's the number that we'll stick to because in a lot of the areas, the trees, the planting strips will not allow for oak. So that number seems like a huge number, but there are so many areas around town that we are not able to plant live oaks due to electric utilities as well as the width of the planting strips.
Drew, can I ask you a question about that particular?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't want to mess you up if you need to go forward, but when I looked at your chart that you had put together on page 11, where it talks about canopy trees, medium trees, and understory trees, that talks about the size of the planting strip. And that was a concern that I had when I read it. It said that in order for us to plant these canopy shade trees, you needed to have a minimum of a 6-foot planting strip. And I don't know what percent of our right-of-way has that large of a planting strip. And it's very important if we're going to try to maintain that canopy. Do we know that answer? Do we know how much of our right-of-way can actually support?
We don't today, but as we build the inventory, we'll be building information about the area available to plant where the trees are located.
But is the city not going to plant any canopy?
Well,
need to continue.
I understand your question.
I'm just trying to figure out.
The thing
we're boxing ourselves into saying that
we're really offering a lot more flexibility, because if we treat the trees as part of our overall infrastructure, you know, there may be situations where we're putting a new sidewalk in and we can move the sidewalk to make a bigger planting strip for the trees. There may be situations where we can coordinate with a resident to put the tree in their yard versus in the planting strip, so that we can still achieve the same look but have a little more flexibility to achieve that look without just using a traditional planting strip.
But that is a question I would love to have an answer to as time goes forward. If we are building infrastructure that supports the continuation of our oak canopy, and if we're not, maybe we need to make
adjustments.
And as
we build new, we plan to, and then where we can make adjustments through retrofitting, you know, that's the combined effort that the Streets Department and the Forestry Department.
I'd like to hear the rest of the presentation, because Commissioner, I don't know that everybody thinks that the oak canopy is going to be at 100% going forward if we adopt this plan. So whether we're space or not, I think a key part of the plan is, do we diversify our tree canopy or not?
Oh, I was saying shade trees. This talks to any canopy.
Well, you mentioned oak specifically in your comments. That's why I'm coming back. So, Drew, why don't you go ahead and continue on?
Yes. We would like to diversify but also maintain a canopy. And of course, you know, the live oaks are a huge part of that canopy. And we'd like to, you know, continue that but not 100% live oaks. We would like to diversify in, you know, some amounts, and in some cases, as I mentioned earlier, we're forced to diversify due to the logistics of where the tree would be located. And then the goal moving forward is to maintain and continue to have a tree-lined canopy city and to have a vigorous, healthy urban forest.
Did you have other questions or other comments that you're going to make? Sure, and I have some questions too. Commissioner Leary.
So it's safe to say, Michelle and Drew, that this is what we're looking at tonight is a roadmap for you guys to say, go forward with this. We appreciate the perspective on diversity. You're gonna request and require some flexibility within the plan. Commissioner Cooper's points well taken regarding the 3-foot. I think we'd all love to see. I think we all like the oak tree canopy, but in certain areas, it's not gonna work. I know around the city there's areas today where curbs are buckled, sidewalks are buckled, streets are buckled, and the trees are not healthy at all due to the limitations of the box. But you guys can work with Public Works in regards to sidewalks. You can also work with homeowners to possibly put them in the front yard. So you're looking for us to approve this as a blueprint, but there needs to be some flexibility within this plan in order for you guys to address individual circumstances to come up. Is that kind of what we're looking at tonight?
I think that that's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for to begin utilizing these practices, and then to be reporting back probably during budget time. We'll be reporting back as we develop a stronger inventory and we know more about how much money we're going to need and the direction that we're going in terms of.
Because I would love to see something where we could say this is definitely allowed, this is not allowed, but I don't know if we don't have a city that's constructed that way. I mean, we're not starting with a blank slate, so we have to have some flexibility and faith in staff that you guys are going to meet the needs. Okay, thank you.
So I'm trying to understand this budget, and I'm just confused by it. So we spent approximately, I guess, in 2013, we spent $1.6 million. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I pick it up on page 16.
Mm-hmm.
So the tree removal cost, you think, to take out the trees that are currently at end of life is $1.7 million. Is that correct?
Right.
And then you believe that a right-of-way maintenance cycle is $5 million per cycle, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the best information we have today. And like I said, that was extrapolated from a small number of trees.
A cycle, I read one point where it was 24 years, and I also read someplace else where we didn't think that was sufficient. So what is the cycle that pays for it every 5 years? Or, I mean, pardon me, that the $5 million pays for?
That's based on a 7-year cycle. But also, like I said, extrapolated from a small number of trees. So as we grow our inventory, we'll know more. But the $5 million would be based on approximately a 7-year cycle.
And that's not $5 million per year.
No.
So right.
No, but if I divide it by 7, 5 goes into 7, or 7 goes into 5, $700,000 or something like that a year.
So is that additive to the 1.5, or is that...
That's my question, so let me... Thanks for asking it for me. I'm at 1.6 million. Do I need to add 700,000 a year then to do the right-of-way, and then another...
It's a little confusing.
And I don't know how long it will take to do the 1.7 million. Is that something we intend to spend quickly to do the mitigation? Is that something that we probably ought to expect that, you know, we're in a special phase of
sure.
tree damage and end of life with the traditional oak canopy that we enjoy, but should we probably plan to budget X number of $100,000 into the future for removals too?
Well, we're probably looking at 2 to 3 years total of just being in this triage mode where we're removing and just taking care of the gray worst.
So let's call it $1.8 million for chuckles. So that's $600,000 a year for 3 years, in other words, just to mitigate what we have today in terms of the...
And that's what we currently have budgeted. We currently have $560,000 budgeted for contracted labor this year. And so that's right where we're at this year is triage and then developing the inventory. So combined, you could see this potentially go up a couple $100,000.
But we're spending $1.6 million, so we got to trim the ones we have.
Mm-hmm. So we're still doing our electric trimming. We're still working in the parks.
So if I add it together, I'm assuming that if $1.6 million is the good funding for this year, last year $1.3 million, we've had various sundry years of funding. I'm assuming we also need to find the money to cover this almost $7 million. Well, another $1 million a year for tree trimming. Is that accurate?
We're already covering roughly $600,000 of that $700,000 to $900,000 need.
Help me understand that.
So within our existing forestry budget, we have about $560,000 currently budgeted for contract maintenance. And then the combined effort, if you took a very straight line approach on this, because this budget that shows the need for the $5 million for pruning and then the $1.7 million for removal, is if you took a purely straight line approach, that would be $900,000 a year. And so we're currently budgeting $560,000 to $600,000, and so it would be...
But that $500,000 to $600,000 is embedded in the money we're already spending, correct? So what is our budget for?
Because we're already making progress on this.
I get that. But we also have to... We plant new trees. We have to trim them at some point, too. So the fiscal year 2013, we spent, it says $1 million, according to the report, $1.6 million. And in our current fiscal year, we're expecting to spend what? $2.1 million or $1.6 million?
Well, when you're comparing apples to apples...
Well, I'm comparing your numbers to your numbers.
Right. So we're looking at spending $1 million, because when we're talking
so
about...
So I'm still remain confused. Let's go off of the numbers that you presented in the report, okay. Which is page 16.
All right.
So page 16, we have a 10-year cycle approximately of all the money we've spent. I didn't average that out, but it appears on average we spent about $1.5 million from 2006 to the present. Give or take $100,000. Is that fair?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what are we planning to spend in 2013-14, the budget season we're currently in?
About
1.6?
Yes.
Okay. But what you're saying is embedded in the 1.6 is $592,000 of trimming and knockdown and the things that have to happen. So has that always been embedded in this money? So what were we doing, I guess, with the $1.5 million or $1.6 million over the last 5 years?
So there's two major components. The component that's the closest $600,000 that's being dealt with the right of way. Then there's $450,000 that is included in this 1.6 that is a piece that is electric.
Right.
Running.
No, I get that.
And so
500 according to your numbers.
Right. So when you flip to the second page and you're looking at a need of $700,000 to $900,000, that's specifically talking to right of way trees. That's excluding the conversation about the electric pruning.
Right.
So the comparison is the $560,000 to the $700,000 or $800,000. And so
but we're spending $1 million approximately that has nothing to do with electrical. That's just the right of way and parks, et cetera, correct?
We're spending about $400,000 in the parks and with the people that work
so
for
we'll
us.
So we continue to do that.
And
so that leaves about $600,000 for all of the other money we need
right.
to spend.
Right.
And if I add this up, we need to spend an extra $700,000 plus $500,000 to take out trees a year. Is that about right?
About an extra $200,000 to $300,000.
That's
right.
Yeah. So that's the number I think that we're disagreeing on.
No, I think we're there because if we were spending the five or six and we need to spend seven or eight,
we're
somewhere
in already
that,
though.
we're somewhere in that. Okay,
we're spending $1 million already, of which $400,000 go to parks, so that means we're spending $600,000.
I have very similar questions, Michelle. This was you and I'm chatting up before, and let me see if I get it, because in my head, this is where we ended up after our discussion. When we're talking about taking over all right-of-way tree maintenance, sorry, Randy. When we're talking about taking over all right-of-way tree maintenance, street right-of-way tree maintenance, if we did that today, that would cost $5 million over 7 years. Okay? So to the mayor's point, that's not being accounted for right now. What is being accounted for right now and what we've increased our budget on is to try to do triage for the next year or two to try to get back to zero, to try to settle back to zero. Once we get rid of all that, once we get back to zero and take care
define
of the
dead, zero for me,
dead and dying trees, trees that are diseased, trees that are end of life, once we get to that point where there's no longer a safety issue, then which we feel we can cover in the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years in triage, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That will no longer be the issue. That will no longer be the problem. Then we can look at investigating, taking over all the street right-of-way tree maintenance, which we can then put those dollars towards, and we'll need additional dollars towards.
Potentially.
Yes.
Okay. That's and you're again basing this 2 years out. We another storm could come in. We don't know what's happening, but this is the best case scenario. But you're not asking for any dollars now. All you're doing is saying if we do take over the right-of-way trees in future years, our number is going to get dialed up.
But that's predicated on the fact that no trees will ever get old and need to be removed.
Well, but we're replacing a lot of those, Mr. Mayor, so we will get back to a much healthier canopy in the next 2 to 3 years if we take care of some of these trees.
So I would love a document that looks at what we really think the funding is, not take apart from page 17 and apart from 19, but that you're really looking for the commission to ultimately add something between 400 on the low end and $1 million on the high end a year to the tree budget to be able to do this, because that's
Randy's shaking his head no.
We're not looking to add that, because once you get past the triage stage, then that 400 or 600,000 we're spending doing that, mm-hmm, is now going towards maintenance and the ongoing. So it's not additive.
It may be added. So you may have to add another 200 or something in there.
It's 200. It's not, so it's $200,000 to $300,000 a year more than we are currently spending if we take over the maintenance of the right-of-way trees.
And that's an early estimate before we finish the inventory.
Now, is this a fair question? When I read the report, I noticed that the budget was extrapolated based on Laurel Oaks. And Laurel Oaks are probably our weakest.
They're higher maintenance cost.
Yeah, sure. Right. And that was our baseline, and we extrapolated from there. So on the flip side, that may actually be good news relative to our budget.
Going into our next life cycle of trees, we're planting more live oaks, and we're also taking a different approach to maintaining those trees in a different way as they're young. And so that will reduce the maintenance costs as they grow, because we're catching them early and kind of shaping them correctly.
That number is much better than I anticipated, quite frankly. But $300,000 is the number. I did have just a couple of things I wanted to talk about on the study.
I wasn't finished, but if you want to continue, why don't you go ahead and I'll take the floor up when you're done.
Number of things, too, so fire away.
Do you want me to go first, then? My first problem is that you're asking us to adopt a urban forestry plan without any defined level of service. And I'm afraid that's just going to continue the confusion that the citizens have been under for years. So from my perspective, where the plan says the city will implement over time and as the budget allows, which is, mm-hmm, right-of-way tree maintenance as a standard city service, I am thrilled that we are going to step up to that responsibility. The difference that I would like to see is I would like us to have a date certain so that liability-wise and budget-wise, the citizens know what to expect and we know what we have to budget. So I would like to say beginning with fiscal year 2015, so that we know that's the date, that's the target date, that's the date we have to come up with that extra $300,000 to put in your budget. That's my one thought. The second thought is, I believe that the city of Winter Park is known and celebrated for our signature canopy streets, and I think that's something we have to keep. And when we talk about diversity, when we talk about the right tree in the right place, I understand, I truly understand the scientific reason for that. And through all the city parks and all the open space, I think that's a great thing. But when it comes to our street canopies, that is our calling card. That is what establishes value. That's what establishes our brand. So for me, I would like to say that, first and foremost, we maintain our street canopies. Number two, on all other lands, we diversify beyond just the oak canopies. And I don't mean just laurel oaks, but just oaks in general. These are just my feelings about this.
So could you clarify that? Are you saying you want oaks?
I'm saying that, yes, absolutely.
Because that didn't come out clearly in your comments, but that's what you're saying.
It doesn't have to be a live oak.
I mean, that is a particularly, I think, a key discussion item of this urban forestry management plan.
And I just have a couple more things, and then I'm going to hush.
We've heard you as one vote. So.
Yes, sir. I understand. The next thing that I had wanted to make sure I understood was it says that the city will continue to require replanting on private property in accordance with our code, which means you take down a heritage tree, you have to put up 2-3-inch trees. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Of course, I think that's horrible, but I understand we adopted that, and hopefully one day we will change it when the pendulum swings. But in the meantime, it also says the city will continue to plant trees in city parks and other public spaces. I would like the city to also plant in accordance with our code, at a minimum, which says that if the city takes down a heritage tree, it puts at least 2 trees someplace. That would be my thought. The next item that jumped out at me is it said the city will work to maintain a 50% tree canopy. Right now we have a 55% tree canopy. I'm pretty proud of that. I think it protects my property values, and I would like the city to continue to aspire and that be our goal going forward. And the very last thing, if we're going to adopt this document, it needs to define what level of service we are offering our residents. So if we're going to say that we're going to take over tree driveway maintenance, I'd like to have a date certain at which we're going to do that. And that would, those are my
only
questions.
Great. Mr. Ranakin?
Gee, I wish I
would
have gone
first. I'm sorry.
No. I when we talked about signature streets a while back, I said no. And the reason I said no was because I believe every street in Winter Park is a signature street. I have, and we've discussed this, and Drew, you know that. I think that within the street right-of-ways, and that's why I tried to pull out of here, there's a street canopy, and then there's a canopy. And I agree with Commissioner Cooper in the context that oak trees are one of the signature elements of the city. And I don't, without getting into the weeds, because I do this for a living, and I've probably planted or taken down more trees than the entire room combined in here. And so I work all the way from Texas to South Carolina to Florida. I do this. I am really concerned about saying we're only going to replant 50% trees, and we're going to look at different diversity. Let me go through this. On our streets, because I've done that. And if you want an example and you want to walk across the street and look at Baldwin Park, where they're pulling out all the laurel oaks and all the other ones because they haven't succeeded here in Florida, at least in Orlando, we can go look at that right now. I don't need a 5-year test period to know that that doesn't work. And if we're going to plant thousands of trees over a length of time, I wouldn't do this without a graphic, guys. And if you humor me for a moment, I want to go back in our, it's page 11 of our packet that was given to us. It has the canopy tree and what it was. Could we pop that in for a second? Just I my daughter's in college, so I had to do this myself. So I apologize for the mistake. When I
this it? Is
the, just work with me for a minute.
No, this is what you're looking
this
for.
This is what I'm looking for.
Okay.
we've got certain criteria for shade trees on our roads, and one of those is that it has a minimum of 13-foot 6-inch clearance so that garbage trucks, fire trucks, and whatever else can get underneath it. That pretty much takes care of these first two columns, the columns on the far right, because I don't know of a whole lot of
trees
that'll fit under there, dogwoods or whatever they'll fit as a canopy tree. That's why I'm getting into street trees. This is what's really important to me. So that pretty much takes care of those first two. If you go to the list here where it says canopy shade trees, first of all, it says cannot be planted under overhead electric facilities. That assumes that those electric facilities are going to be there forever. We're currently in a process of undergrounding all of those. So there isn't any. I don't think there's any place in the city that we couldn't put an oak tree right now that by the time it gets to where it's going to interfere with the wires, those wires would be gone. I totally agree with the part about having a minimum of a 6-foot planting strip. Commissioner Leary, you're absolutely right. When you try to put an oak tree in a 3-foot strip, you're asking for trouble. The third thing is that urban trees to me are like professional athletes. They have a limited time span that they are productive. The problem we have right now is that we have all these great old trees that are old trees that need to go. And I look at the picture that was in here, and I look at all those laurel oaks, and there's probably isn't one of those things that shouldn't go. We talk about triage. They're done. Stick a fork in them. They're over with. Their lifespan is probably anywhere from 50 to 75% of what they would be elsewhere. So if we're looking at this as infrastructure, I want to put in the thing that's going to last the longest. And I know, Drew, there's a lot of discussion about here about oak diseases and everything else. And I can say there's diseases for sweet gums, and there are diseases for cherries, and there are diseases for you name it. If we use disease as a reason to plant or not plant a tree, we probably don't even grow on grass in the city. And there's enough trouble with grass as it is. So I go down this list, and I start with cultivars of live oaks, and we have cathedrals and high-rise, da-da-da. And I draw a line there. And I say, most everything below that, you know where I know where that works? When I see that sign, bridge ices before road surface. Because I'm far enough north where maples thrive, where nuttalls thrive. If we were in Gainesville, we'd have a whole other discussion here. But we're in a unique kind of microclimate between northern trees and southern trees. My other one is that as I look at nuttalls and maples and sweet gums and wind gums and sycamores and tulip poplars, you know what they look like a lot of the year? They look like that. They don't look like one of our signature streets. Now, I have no problem in parks, cemeteries, golf courses, other open spaces, going with diversity. And if you read through here, it says there's 85,000 trees in here and 25,000 of them are on the streets. So that's about 60% of the trees that we can be diverse as we want to be diverse and not wind up with this monoculture. But I really, really think that where we ought to be, if we're really truly looking at investing in something, is we ought to be investing in live oaks. And they ought to be invested in live oaks wherever they fit. And I'm totally on that page. Because there's no reason to put something in that you know is going to fail. And Drew, I agree with that. And I got to compliment Drew's professionalism in this because she understands that if you plant a good tree and you take care of it early on, it pays dividends for 100 years beyond that.
Sure.
And it's a lot easier to trim one of those small trees than it is to get there and start whacking out big branches out of large trees. So I agree with many things you said, Commissioner. I just believe that within the right-of-way, it ought to be oaks first if they fit. And if they don't fit, we have a list of trees here that we can play with. But if it fits, if it has the 6 feet, if we can do it, that's what we ought to be putting in. They'll be there for hundreds of years. And you plant a maple tree, and over that course of a lifetime of a live oak, you're going to take down that maple twice, probably. They just aren't urban between the curb and the sidewalk kind of trees. They're great out in the woods where they can actually decompose and break up and be the natural thing they're supposed to look. But we're not a forest. I always think of our trees as I think of when you go up to Augusta. Mm-hmm. that's the kind of care that we ought to be putting in these things, because they make that place special, and that's what I agree with you, make our place special. And so that's where I am on this document, and would really like to see that modified to say, if we're in a right-of-way, we ought to be looking at oaks where they fit. And it's a long way to get to that point, but that's where I'm at on this one. Thank you for your time.
Commissioner Speckle?
I don't think we need two definers, because right now, the way this looks, we say 50% oaks and 6 feet. We don't need both of those, okay? And so I would always go with the 6 feet. That's probably going to be 50 or 60%. Who knows?
Who
but
knows?
We don't need both of those, because that's when you're going to get confused. Because when you say that, are you going to say 50% of those that qualify or what? So I'm with you on this one, Tom. This is your business, and I agree with you on live oaks, okay? I just want to leave out the idea that we're also going to put a definer in about 50%, because we've already defined it by the 6 foot, and we know that. So I'm very content with the 6 foot definer. The other thing that I think that we might want to think about is if there's people out there that want to come together in their community and say, hey, let's try some diversification, and we want to try something like that in some community because they want it, then I don't have an issue with a street here or there, and then you can look at it. But I'm with you on live oaks. I'll tell you one more example about the disease thing. I was thinking about this, and we used to say sometimes in education, we would say, if you knew you were going to have drought next year, would you starve this year just to get prepared for that? And the whole reality is, of course not. And so even though we want to be planning for what could happen, we have to plan for what we have now.
Well, I lost power Saturday night for about 4 hours during the Patriots game, and from a big old branch that fell in our neighborhood out of one of those laurels, and so I totally agree. And the triage part is that if we could be even doing more, we have the funds to do more, I would vote for that. But we're doing what we can at the moment, and I'm on that.
You know, first of all, I've never heard the term signature streets defined. Does the staff have what those definitions are? That's something that I've heard that term used up here bantered quite a little bit. I don't know who lives on one and who doesn't. So that's something that if somebody has a definition for that, I think that might be important to know. My fundamental concern is the definition of what is going to be the city's responsibility and what is the citizen's responsibility. And this isn't a financial conversation for me. This is a responsibility conversation for me, that unless there's 10,000 Drews, we can't be everywhere at all times, and we can't water them enough. And to suggest, quote, we are wholesale going to take over the maintenance of the trees, I think we're going to do our city and our citizens, frankly, a travesty. I think they have to both. I think we have to have some sort of a compact, something that says the tree canopy is ours. It's not the city's. It's not yours. It's both of ours. And really define what that means. So I'm beginning to get clarity around what I think that definition that is, and that is, if something really truly bad happens in a disease and a tree needs to be taken down, you know, that's a city responsibility. But if we plant a new tree in front of your home, I think it's an equal responsibility to water it. I think that we ought to be taught how to do that. And I don't want to be in Randy's office with some people on a signature street saying, well, you should trim my trees every week because you said you were in charge of them now. And then Randy said, well, it's every 5 years. You're coming up in 2019. Because speaking for me and my house, that doesn't work. We've had to trim our trees at least every 2 years, right, Ruth? Have we? I think over the last six, we've trimmed them at least three times. And so I don't know what to do in that situation. Should I not trim a tree, or should I wait till you come 5 years from now to do it? Because that's how your cycle is, realizing the mayor's street will be last.
Lucky you don't have snow to play.
I don't know where there isn't some sort of I would describe this as a happy medium, and it's not a financial medium for me. I don't know where the $700,000 is coming, or $400,000. But it's something that, to me, says this is our responsibility, this is your responsibility. If you do, this is what the guidelines you should do it with, and et cetera. But, you know, we've been pinged in an email, well, a tree limb fell, and a neighbor had to clear the street because of that. Well, that's what neighbors do. If every tree limb that falls, somebody's going to go, that's the city's responsibility. I'm not about to get the limb out of the street. I don't want Randy Knight's job.
because you'll have 30 people that will expect your trees to be trimmed every single day, and then there'll be other people wondering why you never came to my house, and I don't know how you're going to handle that. So I think there has to be a definition that says, even if we say we're going to absorb right-of-way maintenance, it's going to be every 5 years. And if your trees need to be trimmed every two, these are the guidelines we expect they to be trimmed by, but have at it. If we plant a tree in front of your house, all the trucks that I've seen go by in our community can't spritz them enough to water them for what a tree needs to do. And I've got numerous examples around me of trees that have been planted that neighbors have watered and trees that have been planted that haven't, and they die.
And they die.
So this we're going to take it all, I think, is a very dangerous position to be in. I think we need to say we're entering into a new partnership, and I think we need to really define what that is. And you say that pretty clearly on one of the pages. Frankly, this is one of the best documents I've ever seen, so to find a couple problems with it is difficult for me. But you do describe this. A standard city service, I would feel a lot better voting for what this plan represents in its entirety with the definition of what a standard city service is. I know that when I call 911, within 2 minutes somebody's going to come, and a fire truck's going to come, and a police's going to come. You're asking me to vote for something tonight that says somewhere in the future, and somebody's going to go out of here and say, well, you're going to start trimming the trees tomorrow.
And we had a pretty lengthy conversation about this at the Tree Preservation Board, and then we kicked it to the city attorney's office kind of along these same lines. And Larry was very confident that if you all were satisfied with this plan, he could build a corresponding ordinance that would define the level of service appropriate, that would allow the flexibility and the partnership. And we have tried to pepper through this document that we would expect residents to partner in the watering, and that we would.
I think that needs to be clearly stated, Michelle. I think there clearly needs to be a say the tree canopy is our tree canopy. It's not the city's tree canopy. It's not Carolyn's tree canopy. It's not Tom's tree canopy. It's all of our tree canopy. And really embrace that type of ownership of our tree canopy. It's not just a tree preservation fund or anybody else's. This is all of our responsibility. And each one of us have a role in that. Here's what your role is. Here's what the city's role is going to be. And there may be gray zones even in that. But I think to suggest that the city's going to be able to trim every tree to the order that we think it is, if it's suddenly somebody else's responsibility, sure, there's not enough money in all of our budget to accomplish some people's goals.
So if we get past this point tonight, then the next step would be to bring back an ordinance that would further define it, because that's really a piece that would go into code.
And the budget plan, which Wes or Randy or somebody needs to ultimately say grace over, because, again, you say it's 400. I think it's maybe as much as a million. It's something between the two. That's more money than we have in the budget today to do.
I'm with Commissioner McMack, and if an oak tree, if a live oak or an laurel oak gets pulled out and we can replace a significant tree in its place, I'd like to see a live oak go back in. I want to continue that. And if it can't, then we need to, again, give you guys that flexibility, whether it's to work with the homeowner, to work with the city itself to maybe move sidewalks around. But I'd like to see the live oaks. I hate to set a number on, I don't know what a 50 or 55, I don't know what that is. I would like to see live oaks continue to flourish in the city of Winter Park, because I think they're important. But to the mayor's point, too, I do think, and I guess where I got hung up was on page 19 of your plan, the first point under the right-of-way tree maintenance, city will implement. And as soon as you say the city will implement, that's where I think we're getting hung up, because we don't know what that budget is. So to approve this with that language in there saying we are going to implement it, I don't know if you take that bullet point out, when we work on that, we work on how we can implement it, because mm-hmm. it's hard to say we're going to implement it if we don't know what that plan entails, we don't know what the budget entails behind that. I'm okay with this document in general, given the caveat about replacing as many oaks as we can. We start to get down a little bit of a tricky path up here as we're talking about budgeting out 2 years once our triage is taken care of, and we start talking about how we're going to implement the right-of-way tree maintenance. That's where I think we're getting hung up a little bit, but yeah. I like this plan in general. I just think there's a couple of tweaks we can make to move this forward, but then address, as we're talking about, an ordinance to, in partnership with the residents, take over the maintenance of the city trees.
Exactly. So I have no problem with the city will implement immediately the removal of hazardous trees, a plan that in 3 years we'll do that or whatever. We may even need to do some additional funding if there really truly are some unsafe situations out there, and then replant. That's the one that to me needs more definition, as you pointed out, Commissioner Larry, as well as the think the finances need to be honed a little bit, including what potential budget we think it's going to come from.
I think they could be clarified so that we can clearly see this is this and this is this. The only concern I have, and I agree, because when the city came out and planted a tree in my front yard, I diligently carried out my buckets of water for about six months.
So my neighbors saw me doing that,
and they started doing
it,
and we actually had that.
We have hoses, Tom.
Yeah, I know, but that was my excuse for my exercise, is I could I cut my hands. It was uphill both ways. Yeah, I had to, you know, it was. My concern is that not every resident is able to do that, and there's... In the first 6 months of a tree's life, Mr. Mayor, as you've seen, it's either going to make it or break it.
So we have neighbors.
And so part of me wants to say, if we're going to, the city is making an investment in buying this tree and planting this tree, that somewhere we ought to, in the first X number of months or something, be responsible for watering that tree. And we may be only able to plant so many trees a year.
I completely agree. But what I'm saying is, even when the truck comes by once a week, that's not going to be enough water.
Well, and we may have to adjust our watering schedule to say, here, we can only water so many trees.
And I don't know if we need that for tonight.
No, I don't know if we need that.
And that's again where neighbors have to help neighbors.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to pick an ordinance or a urban forestry plan that's going to help the 100-year-old that can't go out and pick up limbs at their house. I don't think that's who we're trying to build an ordinance for.
No, I'm just looking at, if we're making an investment, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I get a return on that.
But that return to me is also with the citizens doing something. I mean, that's my point. The citizens have to be involved with this. I'm going to move the adoption of the urban forestry management plan in principle with three caveats. One, a restatement of right-of-way signature trees. Two, a definition of citizen and city responsibilities about maintenance, as well as planting, as well as trimming. And three, a definition and a delineation of potential future budget implications, at least for the next 3 years. Is there a second?
Mr. Mayor, before I do that, could you clarify your first item in that the city, a definition of city signature tree?
I think it's what you were saying, which is
that if there's room for an oak, you put an oak.
I don't know what a signature street is.
I don't know
what kind of oaks, because I don't know. I was always taught it's, which is, Drew, we want live. We don't want laurel.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
So I have four new brands in here that were new to me as a city boy.
They're all cultivars.
So you know, I don't know if those are good or bad kinds to add or whatever. But that definition, I mean, we heard 50%. We had 55 on here. I think you heard enough commission discussion to know that none of us, with the exception of Mac, can really know what it should be. And some of you all are professionals, and we're not at this subject. But we're moving in the right direction, I think, and that's why I'm willing to move the ratification of this document in 99%. Is there a second?
Just for clarity's sake, Mr. Mayor, then you are considering Commissioner McMackin's point in regards to your first.
That's what I hope it meant.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's what they heard from that, was there was some discussion. While I personally believe in complete diversity, I listen to Commissioner McMackin as an expert in the field, but I don't know if anybody knows what they think. I mean, if they think they're on an oak line street and suddenly we're on a palm line street, I don't know what that's going to mean to somebody. That's that definition. I mean, you know, we heard signature streets. So what is that? Palmer? Is that Park? Park has a diversity of trees on it today. So I don't know if you think that's signature. I don't know. So that definition was...
Yeah,
that definition was very...
I think every street in our park is a...
Streets.
Yeah. Commissioner Cooper, you had a question?
I did. I just want to make sure I understand your motion. Now, in your motion, will there be a time certain
as my concern with this.
I said within 3 years from the budget standpoint.
Over time and as budget allows, I'd like something clearer than that because the confusion of responsibility is difficult right now for citizens.
Clearly, and that needs to be cleared up. That's what's inherent in my motion.
I think that's part of your motion, Mr. Mayor, that
especially if we're talking about a $300,000 difference, this is something that needs to be funded and it needs to happen right away.
Well, the mitigation, I think, is critical.
This plan is not going to happen right away.
No, I mean taking over the responsibility from the citizens.
Well, that's what we're clearly trying to discuss, whether we're, quote, taking over the responsibility or will we have a joint responsibility. I, for one, believe there should always be a joint responsibility. I think there are certain things we should be taking over immediately. We're doing that with the tree mitigation, I guess I would say it. I'm not convinced that we should ever take over completely the watering. I think that's something that citizens have to do, too, as an example. That's something that, you know, I'm sure they can bring back a budget that says if you have $5 million, we can water every hour. So that's something we need to look at.
So as your motion sits now, that will not be an assumption?
No, as my motion sits now, they were going to bring back a plan within 3 years, if I heard. I mean, the financing for the next 3 years to be able to implement.
I would
the pieces
that.
as well as what full implementation ultimately means. That as Commissioner Leary pointed out, that sentence or that little paragraph on 19 is very problematic, which we've all hung in on. City will implement over time as the budget allows. I don't know what that means, but define what the implementation means as well as what the time as well as what the budget as well as the timing means. I think it accomplishes what you want, Carolyn.
I just wanted to mention that we're here because we have all this murky feeling out there right now on who's in charge. Because I've heard in my neighborhood, well, now if it falls in the street, the city's responsible, and if it doesn't, I mean, so those we're here to fix something that has nobody really knows what it says. I mean, we've gotten a bunch of letters from people who said, you know, right now you're in charge. Why would you give it to the public and to the people? And I'm thinking, no, that's not what it says right now. So the public does not know right now what the ordinance says. So we're trying to make it clearer. We're trying to make it better. And it may take a few stabs to get that way.
And just like people see, I could put up a speed limit sign that said 35, and some people think that applies to me at 45. So, I mean, there is a vast either lack of information, lack of accepting of the information. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the way it was in 1970, so why is it that way in 2014, et cetera? And that's, I mean, defining what that means ultimately. And to your point, Sarah, I mean, I've talked to enough people about our trees that I don't think we have enough phone lines to answer some of our citizens' calls if we expect to, quote, take over all of the maintenance.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to propose one amendment. And I'd like to amend to remove the first three sentences of the first bullet point on 19. So until we have a better plan, which will literally the three sentences for the folks in the audience. Currently says, city will implement over time as the budget allows right-of-way tree maintenance as a standard city service.
So as the maker of the motion and the seconder of it, let's do this initially. If that could be quantified, qualified, and brought back to us, we'll just do it in the main motion.
I just think that needs more time.
That's what I was trying to do.
I just think that needs more time. As we talk about implementation without a budget, without what that...
Well, we can eliminate it. So your amendment would be to eliminate that sentence.
First three sentences.
Is there a second to that? I'll second that amendment.
Well, that was the main policy question that was such a struggle for residents. So for us to approve a plan that doesn't define the level of service seems to me we're just continuing the confusion. And that's difficult for me to support.
Well, that's why we're taking it out, because it needs to be defined. It needs to be brought back with definition, which was the initial motion had that in it.
It needs to be in the urban forestry management.
Commissioner, I agree with you, and my reasoning for taking that out is, again, this plan is not going to be implemented for a couple of years. So things are status quo until we go through this triage for 2 years, take care of the mitigation that we need to take care of, and then in a two-year or in a year or two, when we implement this plan, it will have a much more defined area.
So like all good plans, it will evolve.
It will evolve. It will continue. I expect this to be, I've been behind this fully to have the city take this over, but right now the way this is written, without knowing the budgets, without knowing we're hiring a consultant to come back in, without any of this stuff, this is like we're going to implement over time as the budget allows. It's
Right. That's very confusing. I agree with you. But I also feel like we have a budget that's been presented to us, good or bad, right or wrong, is the best they can do with the data they have. And it isn't that far off from what we're currently spending. And it is this confusion that's caused a problem.
But that's already been approved, the budget. The
budget's approved.
It's not for this year. I'm talking about FY 2000 and next year, 14, I guess that.
But that's what I'm hoping to address in budget season. When they come back in budget season, we'll be able to identify what that takes, and then we'll be able to address that. We'll fix this plan.
What's the point of approving it if we're not clearing up the policy issues?
That's just the one policy issue. We're talking about diversity in here. We're addressing the street oaks that we just talked about. We'll endeavor to get those in where oaks are removed. That's the only piece we're kind of leaving out, because it's just to try to get that in here right now. I don't think we're ready to do it.
Well, Steve, it was very non-defined in the document, so we're asking for definition, taking it until that time. Commissioner Mack, and then I want to open the floor for public comment.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, when you made your initial motion, I guess I was reading into that in some time certain, in less than 2 years, we would have that redefinition of what, to your point, what that is. I kind of look at this like this is the first reading of an ordinance. We've given staff our input. We'd like them to come back, and I don't think it's going to take 2 years to clear up the questions that we have. And I'd like to, at the next reading of this, be able to address these issues and not wait that long.
Well, let's be clear, this won't be read again, but your point and my point is the same thing.
I think he said
take it out until that comes back. The original motion said bring it back more definition.
I think it does both of what we want to accomplish.
I hope staff just make the changes
and bring it back at our next meeting with the changes in it. That's easy to do.
I don't think we're going to know enough by the next meeting.
That's legitimate.
We have our inventory beginning in the next 3 weeks, and so as we get into the early spring, early summer, preparing for the budget, we're going to know so much more about where we stand. So we could bring it back, in the summer time frame with a clearer definition
of
that budget.
Want it back, but I mean, personally, we've debated this long enough that I think we need to get something on the paper and in the works. That's why I made the motion, or I would have said bring it back in spring or fall.
But we can define that more clearly.
Yeah, I think you'll have time to do that this year, I hope. So
you've extrapolated based on laurel oaks, which is the most needy tree. We ought to be able to get this. The numbers may change a little bit, but the changes that we've discussed up here could be redlined and brought back to us immediately. There's no difficulty in the things that we've talked about.
Well, there is in the finances. I don't think that we know what that is. Even in the next 2 weeks, I don't think we know what that is.
Mr. Mayor?
Starting next fiscal year.
Mr. Reichman.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner, to remind the Commission, this is a policy. It's a report. This is not amend your code of ordinances.
Right.
Okay, I think we need to clear on the record.
Okay.
And looking in your land development code, you've got three sections in the deal with trees that provide for some sort of guidelines for responsibility. It starts with 58296, with trees within the right-of-way. And it says that property owners have to keep and trim the trees in the city right-of-way so that motor vehicles and pedestrian traffic are not obstructed in various places. So that's what that says. So that's one. Two, 58297 says the city of Winter Park shall have control of all street trees in other rights of way and other public places, and shall have the power, as opposed to duty, it's the power to plant, care for, maintain, remove, and replace such trees. So let's reiterate. Right now, there's obligation for the property owners to trim them so that they don't interfere with cars and trucks and pedestrians. Two, the city can do all these other things. And lastly, 58298 says tree maintenance. It says that property owners have responsibility for maintenance under the direction and with the approval of the city to maintain trees and rights of way. And trees of all sizes shall be pruned by property owners as needed to maintain health and safety. Pruning shall retain the natural form of that tree, and all tree pruning shall be in accordance with a bunch of rules from a bunch of letters, NAA and ISA and so on and so forth. That's your code. So if you had a code inspector going out and trying to make a determination what to tell the property owner, that's all that code inspector has to look at. I just want to make sure that we're clear as to, you know, what we have clarified as far as what we can enforce versus a policy that we're setting.
Yeah, I believe so. But, you know, we've never defined, to the best of my knowledge, how a tree is trimmed, et cetera. This document starts to do that. So even though it says they have to be trimmed, it doesn't say it's according to certain standards.
And I don't believe that, Mr. Mayor, I am not suggesting that this section at the top of page 19 is inconsistent with that. I'm just trying to point out the distinction between this instrument, which is not amending our code in any form or fashion.
No, I think we understand the distinction, but also realize the document covers a whole lot more than the three things you identified.
Yes,
those three things are law and very important.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Sprinkler and I will open the floor for public comment.
The only other thing I'd like to do is amend your First Amendment to actually exclude the 50% language.
We said that in the...
Well, it didn't say that specifically, and I just would like to make sure, if as long as that's covered and somebody says that, but I would like to make sure the 50% is no longer in here.
Well, they're going to look at it and bring back what the right number should be. So.
But I don't want a number. I wanted it to be, we have a 6-foot and we have a 50%. We have both.
Well, then make an amendment to address that.
My amendment to your amendment one would be to delete the 50% language.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Great. I'm over for a comment now. Citizens want to speak to us about our urban forestry management plan.
Good afternoon, all. Stephen Padigas, 1425 Brookshire Avenue, Winter Park. I'm a landscape architect practicing in Winter Park in Central Florida, and I previously served two terms on the Tree Preservation Board. And first, I think it's fabulous that we're having a discussion about this, and isn't about whether we should have trees. In 1985, when my wife and I were looking for our first home, we told a realtor it has to be on a street that has tree canopy. And we wanted a brick street. We didn't get that one. We did get a tree canopy street. Maybe a brick street's in our future, too. And I think it's fabulous that this plan's been put together. Staff did a great job on it. There's obviously a few tweaks, things that you've discussed, some things you've ironed out already. And I had a few items that I would like to see added to the open forestry plan. I'd like to see some text in there about invasive trees, that invasive trees would be removed from city property and from the rights of way. That's something we'd like to see happen citywide on private property as well, but I think the public can lead the way on that. It should be addressed in this. We're talking about trees, invasive trees that are harmful to our environment, and they're actually taking up space that could have trees that would benefit us, oaks and lots of other trees that are on our list. The list that is provided, which is the examples of alternative species to establish a diverse canopy that we've referred to, needs some tweaking. There are a few trees that are in probably the wrong categories for where they belong. We have magnolias showing in as medium trees. I don't think they're going to do well in a 4-foot planting strip. They need to be in with a 6-foot planting strip. The sand live oak, which is a canopy shade tree, could also function well as a medium tree. It's a smaller tree. It looks almost identical to a live oak and could go in small spaces. So you can really up your oak percentage by using sand live oaks in a lot of areas. There's also some trees on here that are should not be on the list, that are diseased already. I doubt there's a East Palatka holly existing in Winter Park that isn't already diseased or already taken down. So we certainly should not have East Palatka holly, Savannah holly, Millie or Stevens holly, and the Duhoon holly on the list. Those are no longer even allowed on Disney property because of the disease issues. So there's a little bit of tweaking here and there on the list, and there's some other native trees that were left off too. I realize it's representative, but I think this is a document that the homeowners are going to look to, and it needs to be accurate as well. And otherwise, it calls into question other items in the plan. Diversity, I agree. Let's put live oaks where they're allowed. They're going to last a long time, and they're going to do the best aesthetically for our canopy as well. And on the homeowner maintenance, I think it's been a disincentive when homeowners realize the ordinances that were written, mentioned by Mr. Brown. And if that could be adjusted, because if homeowners realize that they're responsible for the trees, it's a huge issue. and it would be a disincentive for having a large tree in the right-of-way. Thank you.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us?
Nancy Schultz, 2010 Brandywine Drive. As you all know, I've been following this for the last couple of years, and I am no expert at any of this, and everything that's been discussed and everything I've read of this wonderful document probably three different times, it's very confusing. Just a couple points that are all disconnected. After hearing about the code, if the Winter Park is in control and power of the care of our trees, this is counter to what we're telling people about our right-of-way trees. So the code and the new urban forestry management is kind of telling people the different things. As I was thinking about eliminating the first three sentences of page 19, we will implement as time. And actually, I think that's pretty specific, and I think that's pretty clear to the city residents, which need some clarification right now. Tell us that as we get the information, as we get the money, we will start taking care of the right-of-way trees. We can't do it today. We can't do it tomorrow. But it's part of our plan, and that's what we really, really need to know. So I'd like for you to reconsider that, because the right-of-way trees is probably the number one thing that the residents are interested in. A lot of this other stuff, let's face it, people don't know the difference between this or that, and they don't really care, as is obvious from the number of people you've probably heard from and show up. So please consider that. As we're looking at planting, I hope you will take in consideration of maybe revising some of the priorities and taking care of Gateway Community streets, like Winter Park Road. It's not immediately on the list, but Winter Park Road is a lost child because there's no development, there's no commercial business being developed, but it is a gateway to our community, and it's pretty trashy looking, and upgrading that right quickly, although I think Jerry Warren told me that the utility was on their list for this year, so maybe we can go ahead and get those trees down and start looking at that. Drew brought to my attention in a conversation that a canopy, I think we have, not that I disagree with the live oaks, but canopy is not necessarily our 30-foot trees that are 50 years old. Canopy, as you're walking or driving, are the trees, and we have a canopy if we are looking at, if we're walking or we're driving. So we have a canopy. So we need to keep in mind what canopy actually means. And I think a few of the things in the ordinance, or the management plan, the management plan, I think you're trying to micromanage a little bit as to what you're specifically writing in. This is a ongoing document, as has been made very clear by the girls, and I don't think some of it has to be written down, because you're saying, as we will implement as we can, as the budget allows. But the fallen limbs that Timberlane and Quail Hollow have been getting, I mean, when you get limbs that are 7 feet long and this big wide, the city needs to come out and take care of those right away, even if it's during the day. I mean, maybe we could have someone that can move them out of the middle of the street, but after 5 o'clock, the police have to come, and nobody knows who to call. So there's a lot of things that people need to know right now as we're moving forward in this moving document. But the right-of-way trees, reconsider at least telling the public what the plan is for the future. Thank you for your time.
Anyone else wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Now, ready to vote?
Mr. Mayor, just one quick
thing. We're voting on two amendments and then the main motion. Commissioner Leary.
I just want to be very clear. I've been pushing for the city to take over maintenance of the right-of-way of the trees. I'd like to see that in the future. And the only reason for my amendment is until we have a better plan to do that, and I hope that comes soon. That was my only rationale for pulling that out now. I can't make a promise, but I don't know what it's going to cost, and I don't know what the plan is. But I hope to see that in the future, Michelle. I know you and I have been kind of in sync on this thing. So
I'd like to make an amendment before we move forward, Mayor.
Sure, Commissioner.
I would like to move that the sentence, the city will implement over time as the budget allows right-of-way tree maintenance as a standard city service be revised or added depending upon the success of the prior motion, that it say the city will implement.
I can't take a motion depending on a motion, so.
I would like to add to this document the city will implement in FY15 right-of-way maintenance as a standard city service.
Is there a second to that? That fails for lack of a second. We have two amendments and the main motion to vote on. The first amendment would withdraw that small paragraph of three sentences. The second amendment was to eliminate the 50% rule. The main motion would have, in general, adoption of the plan, looking at the difference between 50 and whatever percent, but if we have clarity around the amendment, we'll get that. Mm-hmm. It's to define the budget, and then it was also to define the responsibilities of the parties. So we clear what we're voting on?
Yes, sir.
So the first thing is Commissioner Leary's amendment. Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. The amendment passes. The second is the elimination, I guess, of the 50% in the tree camp. I don't know what it's replaced with, but it's eliminating at least the 50% that's in here.
It already has the 6 foot. It's already in there.
Okay, thank you. Quick read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Then the last would be the adoption of the Urban Forestry Management Plan as amended, and the amendments kind of take a few of the words out, but y'all get what's going to happen if we adopt it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Could I, as before we leave this subject, I thought that I hope that staff heard some of the comments that Mr. Pettigas made, because there are some technical tweaks, and I'm sure
I'm assuming the professionals are going to listen to the professionals on this.
And so I hope they heard that.
Steve, you lost me on the Duhon Holly versus the Black Holly. So I'm assuming you all talk on a routine basis because you're a good citizen and you're a good forestry management person. Yeah, so. Great.
Good
whatever
job,
the latest
guys.
Information is.
Excellent.
It's a great plan. You've all been working diligently on this. This is one of the best pieces of work I've seen the city bring forward. Thank you. I'm going to take citizen comments. It's the 5 o'clock hour. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not coming before us today? Don't rush to the dais all at once. I see that there aren't any. We'll close the floor for that. What do you all like to do? You want to keep going or you want to take a break? Okay.
Anybody want to take a break?
I'm fine.
Everybody else is ready to go.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. We'll reconvene at 5:15. We're calling the City Commission meeting back to order. We're on item 10C, discussion of process for evaluating the opportunity for Minor League Baseball Winter Park. We've had the opportunity and have had exploratory discussions, I guess we'd say, or interest in the possibility of Minor League Baseball team in Winter Park. Very interesting. Randy, I would defer to you to present this document. And then.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you said, we've had several conversations over the past 12 to 18 months with potential team owners about the potential of bringing minor league baseball to Winter Park, and we're at the point now where we either need to decide to continue pursuing this opportunity or tell them the team we're not interested so that they can look elsewhere. And so the purpose of this discussion today is really to talk about process and what I'm proposing is to spend the next 45 days, have staff really delve into each of these opportunities, see what kind of meat we can put on the bone for the commission to consider whether or not you want to move forward with this opportunity. Over the last 12 to 18 months, we had been looking at the Harper Shepherd Field site owned by Rollins, and back in December, their board of directors decided that process wasn't working out for that site, and their fundraising efforts and all just wasn't leading them towards making baseball happen at that site. So they backed out of the lead, and so it really is a question, does the city want to take the lead and see if this is still a viable option? We've currently got four sites on the table, all of which have good points and bad points about them, and there's a lot of details to be worked out, including how a funding of a stadium would happen at each of these sites, and it is different depending on the site. Those sites are the Martin Luther King Jr. Park location, the Rabidage site, the UP development site, which is where the Whole Foods is proposed to go. They've acquired, you know, that location as well as the Dodge site and some of the other properties right around there. It's adjacent to the Votech site, and they've been in conversations or plan to be in conversations with the Votech also about whether any or all of that property might be a possibility to be included. That's in no way, shape, or form, you know, a site that we have access to unless the school board's willing to sell it, so that's one of the things that needs to be pursued. But the developer of those properties, and this is across the street from L House, across 1792 from L House, so that developer said he is interested in talking to us about baseball as an opportunity for his overall development, so that one is in play. And then the fourth site that's somewhat a distant fourth is the former tree farm site. The challenge with that site is access and visibility, as well as potential neighborhood impact being right next to residential. So that one's, while it's on the table, it's probably a distant fourth from the other three. What we'd like to do over the next 45 days is not only work with the various property owners and try to negotiate deal terms that could be brought back to the commission for consideration, but also to talk with our advisory boards that would be involved in this type of a decision, just to get some preliminary thoughts and questions and concerns and advice from them. And those advisory boards would be the CRA advisory board. The one site is in the CRA, the MLK Park site is. Talk to the Parks and Rec advisory board as well as the Economic Development advisory board, and just to get input from those boards. With that, it's really just a matter of coming up with the deal terms for each site, looking at what funding opportunities are available for each site, and then coming back to the commission, hopefully within the next 45 days, with a recommended top site or a recommendation to abandon the project altogether if it doesn't seem feasible. One of the things I wanted to point out, I've had people ask, you know, what's in it for the city. I did forward to you the feasibility study that shows there's about a $6 million a year economic impact to the community of minor league baseball. And whether or not there's a demand, this is the largest market. The Orlando metropolitan area is the largest market in the United States, is our understanding, that does not have some form of professional baseball. So there seems to be a desire of minor league baseball to be in this market because they believe it would be successful in this market. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. And the purpose of this is to see if the commission has enough interest to do this 45-day exploration of these sites, or if any of these sites are just completely off the table as a no-go to begin with, you let us know that and we can take those out of the mix.
Randy, there.
Commissioner Trump.
Yes, Commissioner Mackin.
Randy, there's not only obviously financial considerations and whatnot between the city and the team, whatever, whoever that might be, the ownership, and also these landowners. Have we retained or we have access to? There's also physical challenges, and to me that was one of the greatest ones we had with the Rollins site initially. Was just the fact that if we do a stadium, I think on any one of these sites, we're probably talking potentially about structured parking, and there's
there's not just financial aspects to this, there's physical planning aspects to this. Have we retained anybody to help us with that? Are we doing that in-house as far as some preliminary site planning on this? Because how it, we had this discussion, so between you and I, when I talked with Randy when we gave you an update on this, what I really don't want to see is something shoehorned in somewhere. That if we were to consider this and we were going to talk to somebody, that it ought to be a first-class facility that is, you know.
Sure. Can I interrupt for one second?
And so, okay.
And just because I think a lot of this depends, and it's not included here, Randy, there's a huge difference between single, double, and triple-A stadiums and what that size is. So can you tell us where our sweet spot is? Because I think it directly impacts what Commissioner McMack.
Thank you.
But yes, it's we're looking at between a 2,500 and 3,500-seat stadium for a single-A baseball.
Can you equate that to something so I know what that means? How many does Hartford Shepherd have now?
It's probably around 1,000, Mike.
So it's at least twice as the size?
It's the same.
I know the stadium's the same.
It's probably like the Winter Park 10 theaters. I mean, right, those are probably 200 or 300 each, I would guess.
Yeah, and Commissioner Larry, too, you know, when I got there, when we looked at that first site over Hartford Fair, I mean, it was just, we tried to put 10 pounds in the 5-pound bag, and there was a real struggle. And if we're going to do this, you know, I really want to be able to address it in a first-class manner, whether it's 2,500 or 5,000 or whatever. So I'm hoping that as part of the financial discussion, because I don't mind discussing this. I mean, it's an opportunity, and it's either going to be a good one or a bad one, and we'll ferret it out. I mean, I don't mind discussing it. But at the end of the day, I also want to see something that, yes, it actually does fit.
And
that we're, as a city, if we were going to go forward with this, that we'd be proud of it. So I'm hoping that as part of that 45-day process that we can, how big is the breadbox kind of thing on a piece of paper, not just dollars and cents at the end of the day. So.
To answer your direct question, though, we have not engaged an architect or anyone like that to draw plans. We do have some renderings that Rollins had done a while back as far as what the outside of the stadium would look like. We understand the footprint that we need for a stadium, and we certainly understand the footprint we need for the amount of parking that we'd have to have without bringing in an expert.
I guess if we decide to go forward with this as part of that 45-day deliverable, even if it's just squares on a piece of, you know, on a site plan kind of, I'd like to see something that says, yes, it actually physically fits on the site in an appropriate manner. So that would be my... And I'm fine talking. I mean, it's either an opportunity or it isn't. And I think staff is quite capable from both aspects, either physical and or financial, to ferret that out for us and bring something back that we could look at.
Can we?
Mr. Sprinkle?
I would like to take MLK Park off. I just don't see how that could fit there. And so that's Sarah's. I was part of the task force that named that park recently. And I would like to take that out of the mix. That's just a personal wish for me. I think Wabedage is something we can definitely talk about.
That would be
and
perfect.
I don't know if UP, if that requires the school board property, or is it just, apparently it does
it,
not.
It doesn't require it, right.
Okay, so that's not something we're involved in. It's them that would be involved in that. But I would like to take the MLK Park out.
Commissioner, I would just ask that you do that in 45 days. I think that we need to look at all of our options at this point. And to me, all of our options are all available parkland in our city.
Okay.
And look at that. I think of the four sites, each one have issues with them, and they have good and bad. But I think to be able to have, if we do this, first of all, that's the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we going to do this? And I'm with Commissioner Mack, and 45 days to study it is a wonderful opportunity for what I think is a golden opportunity for our city and potentially a generational opportunity. I wouldn't at this point advise that you take anything off the table.
Okay.
You may have a preference. I may have a preference. But I think at this point, the process that's been put into place, and I might add, I would argue that we add to this that there aren't necessarily four sites. There could be other sites we don't even know about. So that might be opportunities for people to come forth with opportunities. And at this point, I think having a model, whether we'd ever vote for it there, is I think it's premature to take a site off.
Okay.
You need it if you're going to use it for negotiations, whether those sites or whatever things. So
Mayor.
Commissioner Cooper.
My concern actually is more in the process of how we're going to evaluate this. I personally am not comfortable going to sub-boards and asking them to make decisions and recommendations to us that are not data-based. So I did go back through Madison Group's report. That did the city pay for this, by the way?
We paid a third of that.
And who paid the others?
Rollins paid a third, and the team owner paid a third.
Okay. Well, the conclusion of this report was that the Harper Shepherd Field absolutely was the right place to put it. But what I appreciated most about this was the analysis that they went through. So where I'm at is I don't want this to be an emotional decision. I don't want anyone making recommendations to me based on the fact that they enjoy watching baseball. I want us to make sure that we do what's best for the citizens of Winter Park. When I looked at this document, it seemed to me that the economic benefits that we were talking about were not to Winter Park. They were to Orange County and Seminole County combined. So I don't know what data comes down to Winter Park. So what I want to understand is what's in it for the citizens of Winter Park. And there's great joy and pride with saying you've got a minor league baseball field. So I don't have a problem talking about that at all. But I would like for us to do at least the same level of diligence that was put forward in this report that came to us that concluded Harper Shepherd was the place to put the ball field. And what they say, just if you want me kind of to summarize this.
I think we've read it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what they say is that they want to look at traffic flow, parking, infrastructure, ease of development, the economics, both capital and interaction between the partners. And to me, obviously, I would like to understand what part of our CRA funds are going to have to go into this investment and what the opportunity cost is to the things that you would have funded were you not funding baseball. And before anyone gives me advice, I'd like them to have this data. See, so for you to go to a board and just say, what do you think about baseball? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, what do you think about baseball based on traffic, based on return on investment, based on parking, based on infrastructure, based on the opportunity cost of the money from our CRA that's going to be involved. And then I'm fine with going to boards, but gracious, don't go get opinions from boards and don't without giving them something to evaluate.
Well, first of all, I would trust that our staff would use the data that we have at hand to answer those questions. And by the way, I think our boards are just as equipped at knowing what's best for Winter Park as we are.
Right.
Maybe more so. So
just as we show data.
So I would assume that part of this 45-day process would be that data mining, I guess you would use the word. So.
Yeah. And that was my point, was at what point does the data come forward? I'd like the data to go to the boards because the boards aren't going to generate the data.
I would anticipate that's going to be part of it, is sharing with them the work that's been done to date and also digging in a little further rather than just going asking them to raise their hand if they want baseball or not. Hoping that there would be a little bit more.
Well, I don't think they've had we haven't looked at all their sites.
But they can get that. They can get all
those. But this doesn't look at all their sites. You know, there are some things that
data's
missing. Data's missing from the CRA.
I think our boards come back to us in a number of ways with recommendations based on data. So I hope that.
Yeah, that's my objective, is to make sure they get data before they start giving me advice on what to do.
Yeah, I think they'll be well informed.
Right. I mean, we're not going to have traffic studies done in the next 45 days for each of these sites. And we're not talking about spending that kind of money. So,
but we're talking about possibly spending $5 million on investment. So I would think that a traffic study is not a bad thing.
Not in the next 45 days.
No, I understand. But the decision that comes in the next 45 days, 60 days, will generate that kind of an obligation to the city. So I don't think doing a traffic study is unreasonable.
I'm just being leapfrogging. I think that what we're looking for is for more information in 45 days to come back and say, here's what we decided, here's what we know, here's what we don't know. Are you interested in what we're presenting today? Does that entice you enough to investigate further? And if it does, then we can go full bore.
I have no intent in 45 days of voting yes or no on baseball.
Right.
I can tell you that.
I
right
just don't
now
want to get boards voting on something without.
You know, they're fine, and I appreciate the input from boards. And I
do too, especially if they have data.
But I think Randy's very correct. In 45 days, you're not going to get the level of information that that report has. And so I'm comfortable seeing if this is, to me, this is just even, do we want to, if it's looking like it's good, then you start spending money on traffic studies and utility studies, and there's a whole nother level if we were ever going to get serious about this. And again, I'm still waiting to see if there's even...
I think it's made.
If there's even smoke here, I don't even. You know, right now there's well, I don't. There's no smoke. There's not even that yet. I want to see if there's something here. If there is,
it's pretty clear right here at the end of the presentation. Step. Here it says at the end of the 45-day period, staff would bring back a report to the commission as to whether or not continuing the process makes sense for the commission. It doesn't say we're voting on baseball.
Yeah, I have no intention of voting on baseball.
I think it's pretty clear.
So it'll go back to the boards, and once we collect the data,
it may. It may not. It may just sit with us.
But the $5 million figure that you threw out, Commissioner Cooper, is what
that's
bothers me.
That I've heard. That's
well, I know, but it's not in here.
No, it's given to me by staff.
I don't want the public out there thinking that we just are looking at a $5 million. I mean, it's not there. So we need to get all of that together before anybody starts talking about who's going to be doing what.
And that will come back to us in the 45 days. Is that what we're thinking?
That's the plan, yes, ma'am.
Mr. Mayor, I'm supportive of this. I obviously have my favorites and none in here, but I'm certainly open to discussion. We have looked at this for different projects in the past. We have looked at the Mount Vernon, and we worked with the developer, and we turned him down after he came back a couple of times with projects there. So I'm always happy to hear some interesting things from different sectors.
It was difficult not to voice a favorite on an opinion here or something else, because there are obviously I have a favorite and I have one that I probably didn't say. And so
you're holding back.
I think they all need to be looked at, and I think they'll sort themselves out.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move that we enter into a 30 to 45 day period by which staff discuss both with our three boards identified, along with potential site determination, which I would add to my comments after I make my motion, that could be expansion of our parklands by doing that, which is a good thing, I think.
Yes.
The stadium financing, as well as whatever potential agreements that may impact us and what we would need to decide to make a decision. So I'm going to move the process that's been presented before us.
Second that.
Thank you. Discussion? I would say, just from what I've seen, this is a generational opportunity. It may not work for Winter Park, but it may be a wonderful thing. And you know, I look at the two best ballparks, in my opinion, maybe the three in the United States, and obviously we're not talking anything of those sizes, but Wrigley Field and Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium are neighborhoods. So I think it fits in our community. I mean, if somebody came to us and said we want another 10 movie theater here, none of us would ask where is it going to be parked and how many people are going to come, and we'd probably be getting our movie passes. So there's a lot of moving parts here, which is why I think staff's identified a good process here for us to discuss that. And a $6 million a year economic impact, 10 years is $60 million, if that adds up to that, I think is something that we shouldn't not ignore at this point and just look at that. So I'm excited about the potential to vote for this now. So further commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment if citizens wish to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. If you want to comment, we need to have you fill out a yellow card, and we need... Okay, well, come on up. If you'd identify yourself into the microphone, please.
First of all, I've never done this before. I'm a small business owner.
So I'll help you. If you identify who you are, and what address you are, and then you have 3 minutes to do what you want.
My name is Cal Pesh. I'm from the UPS store on Kmart Shopping Center, corner of Lee Road, across from the Robin Dodge. And I don't think this will be a complicated discussion like the previous one. I'm just here because it's been very tough for the last 5 years, and I think I speak for all the small business owners. And I'm trying to establish people who have been in Winter Park, that my store's been there for 23 years, and I still get people who come, who walk past the tag office, which is closed now, and they say, how long have you been here? I said, 23 years. We didn't know you were here. So basically, the main two signage on 1792 and Lee Road, all the little stores don't get any signage there. Therefore, nobody knows where they're. And So like I say, it's been very tough the last 5 years. I was wondering if there's any allowance for a little signage for us to put on our vehicles or something like that, so people know we're in the shopping center.
I hear your issue specifically, but I don't think it's impacting the decision that we're trying to decide right now. So I guess I would ask our economic development staff to maybe sit with you and hear what your issues are, and then if there's some recommendations that need to come back, that would be appropriate. So we try to limit the discussion for what we're discussing to the item that's on the agenda. So I'm not hearing you say you want signage on baseballs or anything at this point.
No, I didn't realize it was regarding this. I just thought nobody else.
Right. No, we try to. And you've been sort of. We'll have our city economic staff obviously sit with you. Maybe not this exact second, but they'll certainly be happy to sit with you and discuss that. Any other citizens wishing to speak to us about the matter that's before us, item 10C? I'll close the floor for public comment. You all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner O'Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Mr. Eichmann, item 11A.
Mr. Mayor, this is an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, annexing the property of 612 East Lake Sioux Avenue, which particularly described herein, providing for the amendment of the City of Winter Park's Charter, Article 1, Section 1.02, Corporate Boundaries, to provide for incorporation of the real property described herein, providing for the filing of the revised charter with the Department of State, providing for repeal of prior ordinances and resolutions, for severability, and providing for an effective date.
I move the ordinance as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Commission discussion? Were you burning to say something, Jeff? How many are left, I guess I would ask, on Stonehurst?
They've got a map in here that shows that, Mr. Mayor.
I tried to add it, but I couldn't in my head for...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 11 7, 12 8, 9,
10, 11 or 12
left.
So this is one in the journey. Yeah.
There was a plan. Now that sewer's been put on that street, which is what they feared, being charged for sewer, but four of the homeowners paid for it. So now there is a plan to try again. That was the big drawback.
That's exciting, actually. There's been a motion and a second. Further commission discussion? I'll open the floor for public comment if any citizens want to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Clerk will read the roll on the ordinance on first
Commissioner
reading.
Commissioner
O'Leary? Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Item 11B, Mr. Eichmann.
Mayor? Commission, this is an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning a certain electric utility easement at 470 West New England Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, has been particularly described herein, providing for conflicts, correction of any scrivener's errors, and an effective date.
I move for approval.
Thank you, Commissioner Mack. Is there a second? I heard Commissioner Cooper second it. I don't know that there's that presentation. This is a pretty simple review, and we do this quite consistently, it seemed like, as property owners or others do that. We have a motion and a second for the commission discussion. Hearing none, I'll open the floor for public comment. Are citizens wishing to discuss this matter with us? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You're ready to vote? Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner O'Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. On first reading. A specific resolution, I don't know if you, Randy, want to discuss this or not after Mr. Reichman reads it into the record.
Commission, this is a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, setting forth the City's intent to use the uniform ad valorem method of collection of a non-ad valorem assessment for the properties lying in the City of Winter Park consisting of properties abutting Seminole Drive, as more particularly indicated in Exhibit A attached to the ordinance, to fund certain public improvements of the installation of underground electrical or BHN facilities, providing that a copy of this resolution shall be forwarded to the property appraiser or tax collector and the Florida Department of Revenue in accordance with Section 97.3632, Subsection 3A for the statutes providing for conflicts, severability, and providing for an effective date.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is the neighborhood who saw where they were in the undergrounding program and decided they didn't want to wait that long, and they were willing to pay 50% to get it done now under our plug-in program. So we love these types of residents, and 87% of them voted in favor of this.
So our process for those, we have a resolution, and there's actually the vote for them to do that. Well, there's a couple more ordinances, but this is the first step in that process.
Correct.
I move the resolution as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Commission discussion. We thank the neighborhood for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'll open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? I'll close the floor for public comment. You ready to vote? Quickly read the roll.
Commissioner O'Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Commissioner O'Leary,
Just to say thank you to staff. Great. I know there were a lot of events over the course of the holiday season and pulled it off well. I've also been involved in some major commercial productions, so I know the parade that was here a couple days back was incredibly difficult for a production team to pull together without the hard work of staff on scene. So kudos to you guys. Kept the city moving. And it just looked great, so thank you all. That's it.
Great. Commissioner Sprinkle.
I just like to ditto that. That was great, and it was a great time to live in the city of Winter Park and be so proud of all the things that we do. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Cooper?
We had a great time at the parade. Also, the Fraternal Order of Police had a lovely awards banquet this weekend that many of us were able to attend, and that was grand. Also, the League of Cities has asked for us to consider supporting the red light cameras. I guess that bill is now going through committee, so I don't know what your personal feelings are about that, but I don't know if we can talk about it as a commission or not, but certainly as an individual, if those of you who do support the continuation of our red light cameras, this might be a good time for you to contact your representatives in Tallahassee.
Commissioner Cooper, I'm interested in personally supporting as well as potentially having a declaration from our
Wonderful.
City. But I don't know if we can get a third to put that specifically on the agenda.
That'd be wonderful.
And may I add to your request, there's a couple other issues that are pending and going through. One that I don't know the specific bill number, but there's a bill that gives municipalities the right to either have smoking or no smoking in their parks and take that out of the state's hands. That would be one that I would also like to personally weigh in on, at least if we could do that as a commission, again, not knowing where your positions are. But I'd like to add that as a third item. And then, Mr. Knight, I know you're keeping up to track on all things pension. I think last year we took an action supporting a bill or something, if memory serves me. If you think that's worthy with Mr. Peebles' counsel, if you could bring something to the next agenda, if there's three to say we'd like to be interested in that. So there's three, at least bringing those three items back as an agenda item for potential
proclamations. What about gambling? Do we have a position as a board on gambling? And the reason that's important is because the language currently talks to existing paramutual, which would be in Castleberry, but a lot of discussion has gone on to remove the word existing, which would mean that any new paramutual facility. So I don't know if that one's not close enough to home, and I would understand that if that's the case and individually.
Three that we would discuss, including the one you let off, I would say we've all had pretty thorough discussions about. I wouldn't know enough about the issue right now to weigh in on a bill that would impact from our city's perspective. I certainly have personal opinions on that.
No, I understand.
I don't know enough to know whether what's proceeding is a good bill or a bad bill.
Well, you might want to check into it personally.
Yeah, and I am.
I'm good with that. So we've got smoking in our parks, pensions, and red light cameras.
I don't think there's going to be a casino in Central Park. So.
Can I comment on that? Are we having a meeting with our legislative liaison person in Tallahassee anytime soon before this session actually begins?
I have been meeting with them. Are you talking about?
Well, I was just saying that this was what it is. Are we all?
I know in the past
we've usually met with them at some point before we got going on this. So
if
that's
possible,
want to put
schedule,
that on
I
our
would,
list of things to get done.
Okay.
Because committee meetings are already going on, right?
They are.
Exactly.
They are.
That's all I had.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. Commissioner McMacken?
Randy, can you refresh me a little bit? I know we have Martin Luther King Day activities. I saw Clarissa sneaking out and saying, "Hey, wait, she's leaving. Catch her, quick."
Do you know the details of MLK Day?
Okay. I think it's posted on the website. I know there's traditional activities on Sunday and Monday,
I do believe. Is it? Yeah. We're pretty much on the same where we've been before? Okay, great. Right. That's all. And again, thanks to staff for a fabulous, not only for the parade and all, but just this whole holiday season and whatnot leading up. 5 weeks we were gone. You did a great job in our absence.
Yes.
I'll get
and this Friday is our a special day in our city as we have our State of the City in addition to recognize our three employees of the year. I know you'll all be participating, invite our citizenry to attend at Rollins Alfond Inn on Friday at noon. So it'll be a very special day in the life of the city. With that, I take a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. By acclamation. Have a great
evening,
everybody.
You too. Thank you.